From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Oh, you're happy now. Just wait. We have got such a great show for you lined up. Chuck Todd, the NBC White House correspondent, will join us later to play Not My Job. That's exciting. But first, if I may, serious business, a word to Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele. Or maybe it's an intervention. Now, last week on this show, we led with Mr. Steele, his instapology to Rush Limbaugh, and we could have done it again this week with his surprising admission that he's pro-choice, and then, as sure as groveling follows stupidity, his instant apology. But it just seems too easy and a little sad. So let me say this to Mr. Steele, if you're listening. Look, publicly humiliating yourself is an effective way to get on this show, but it's not the only way. You can just call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT, 1-888-924-8924. You can save time by including your apology for it in your appearance. But now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Jodine Thompson from Ponca City, Oklahoma.
Well, hello there. What is a Ponca, and why
a
do they have cities?
A Ponca is an Indian tribe.
Oh, I see.
It's Oklahoma,
where,
Indian tribe.
It's where they used to live before you drove them off.
No. Oklahoma is where they were sent.
Oh, I see. Even
yes.
Better. So what do you do there?
I work for the state of Oklahoma, and I adjudicate unemployment claims.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It must be a modern-day gold rush for people in your business.
Well, if we were paid by the unemployed person,
but
perhaps.
You are busy.
Oh, terribly. And it's, frankly, it's sad.
No, oh, sure.
I would...
But I'm not mad at her because I'm not unemployed in Oklahoma.
There you are.
I'm unemployed right here.
You come to Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me introduce you to our panel. First up, say hello to the comedian who'll be appearing at Cobb's in San Francisco on March 20th and 21st, Paula Poundstone, right here.
Hi, Paula.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Next, it's a humorist and the author of the forthcoming book, Driving Like Crazy, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hello.
How are you?
Finally, a deputy editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor. There she
Yay,
is.
Kiri.
Hey, Jodine.
Jodine, welcome to the show. Now,
Thanks.
We're going to start today with a new game. We're calling it Carl Book. Sadly, the people you most want to find on Facebook are the people who are not on Facebook. We're going to remedy that with some imagination. Carl is going to read some Facebook status updates that we wish we had seen this week on the site. You identified the newsmaker who posted them. Ready to play?
Sure.
Here is your first update.
Prison won't be too bad. I'm getting lots of friend requests from the prisoners there already. But wait, what is a poke?
That was somebody who'd better be getting ready for prison after he pled guilty this week. He'll be spending the next 100 years or so there. Who?
Of course, Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff, exactly right. The perpetrator of the biggest financial fraud in history said he was really very quite sorry for stealing $63 billion of his client's money. Investigators are trying to regain something of value from Madoff's assets to distribute to his creditors, but they found only millions of Beanie Babies bought at the height of that craze. Sad. Others have pointed out that the only thing that makes him different from the thousands of other financiers who have ripped us off is that he admitted it. So instead of more prosecutions, it might just be easier to just wrap barbed wire around the Upper East Side between, say, 57th and 96th Streets, pull out all the caterers, nannies, and yoga instructors, and it'll be the Lord of the Flies in there by the end of the week.
It just occurs to me that Bernie Madoff's name, his last name is Madoff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Dickensian, isn't it?
Yes. Someone should have noticed that long ago.
One of the weird things, and I
if
don't...
If Eleanor stick it to you, ask me for something. If Henry gonna take it away and not give it back, ask for my bank deposit, I'd say no.
Very good. Here, I got nothing to add, frankly. Although I did hear something interesting. They interviewed one of his victims on All Things Considered, and she made a good point, which is that all these prophets, which were in fact false prophets, they didn't really exist, but all of them were reported, so people paid taxes on them, right?
Oh.
So it turns out the only person who really benefited from Bernie Madoff was the IRS.
Wow.
So they're in the solution to our economic woes.
More Ponzi schemes?
More Ponzi schemes.
Fantastic.
Sounds you good know, to me, yeah.
All we need is a sufficient supply of suckers. What do you think?
I was sadly caught in a Ponzi scheme.
Hey!
That's where somebody convinces you that just by whacking the Coke machine, it'll give you a drink? Yeah.
Give a lot of money to Ralph Mel.
All right, here is your next Facebook status update from the week.
2:30 p.m. is testifying at Senate Finance Committee. So nervous. Imagining members of the committee in their underpants. Wait, it's John Kerry. No!
So that was a senior administration official who was not projecting the confidence we need in this economic crisis. Who?
That would be, I'm thinking, Secretary of the Treasury William Gaither.
That's Tim Geithner, but very good. We'll give it to him. Tim Geithner. It was so important to have him as Treasury Secretary. Remember this? That we were all told we had to overlook his failure to pay taxes. You know why? Because, as it turns out, nobody else in the country can really capture that classic banking regulator caught in the headlights look that he's so good at during his public appearances. Whatever his smarts, Geithner's namby-pamby public pronouncements are not exactly the systemic Viagra that our financial system needs, if you will. Geithner, everybody agrees, needs to be better at rallying the troops, but he's not good at it. At the end of the week, he actually tried painting his face half blue. He put on a kilt and a sword. And he shouted, "Aye, they may take our 401ks, but they'll never take our underlying fundamentals."
Nobody cared.
Here, Nadine, is your last status update.
June, relationship status complicated. August, engaged. March, get away from me, you creep.
So that was posted by a young woman who, we just found out this week, isn't going to get married to the father of her child, despite what we were told by the McCain campaign. Who?
Sarah Palin's daughter of Jiminy Christmas.
That is, in fact, her other daughter, Jiminy Christmas.
Oh, golly, I cannot remember the girl's name.
Well, it's good enough. It's Bristol Palin.
Bristol Palin. Okay.
You've heard of the shotgun wedding. This was the first assault rifle shot from helicopter wedding. Or it was. You see, first of all, I got to make this clear. We have nothing but sympathy and good wishes for Bristol Palin. She is not the first teenage girl to go through this, and she should absolutely do whatever she thinks is best for her and her family. But we do remember how during the Republican National Convention in August, we were all told that Levi Johnston wasn't just the self-described, quote, redneck father of Bristol's baby, but her fiancé, because everything sounds better in French, doesn't it? Republican officials are now looking for another couple to represent their commitment to traditional marriage. They're in talks with Britney Spears and whatever hot guy happens to be tending the bar at the Palms Casino the next time she stops by. Carl, how did Jodine do in our quiz?
Jodine, you were perfect. 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
I am so excited.
Hey, Jodine, thank you so much. Take care.
Bye.